to start in Ezekiel 37, verse 3. This is Declarations, part 2, Ezekiel 37, verses 3 through 10. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Note, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, a subtle rattling. Can you just imagine being there? Just put yourself there. Here's, you know, Ezekiel's standing here, and all of a sudden it's just a boneyard of bones, and it's just all these bones here, and then all of a sudden they start rattling, and it's like, you know, the leg bone connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to, you know, whatever it is. There's no bone in the knee, but whatever. They all, I mess the song up, but just stay with me. You know, all these bones start coming together, and he's just like, dude, come on. Can you imagine? And so he prophesies, and all the bones start coming bone to bone. There's a rattling going on. In verse 8, it says, Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came on them. I mean, just think about that. I mean, like, I think of that, I'm thinking, like, yeah, like, you know, some of Hollywood's stuff where you see the sinew on bones where there's, yeah. You know, you can just imagine. Can you imagine? Ezekiel's like, And he's looking at this, and skin, and all of a sudden it says that sinew came on them, and then flesh came on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he also said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. And if you look in the old, when you look at breath, ruach, it's like what they use for wind. It's also used for spirit. He's prophesying of the Spirit of God. You are filled with the Spirit of God. When you speak, you're ambassadors of Christ. When you speak, you release the power of the Spirit. You are more powerful than every Old Testament prophet. You stand in a new covenant. You get to declare as ambassadors. Your words are powerful. And he's saying, prophesy. He's saying, speak. Speak to whatever's dead and speak to it. And as he spoke, he prophesied to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So verse 10, it says, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And that's our choice. We get to either prophesy or we get to just prophesy. To prophesy as he commanded us, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. They stood to their feet. Now you could say, well, you know, I don't know, man, but I'm going to practice in a graveyard today. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speaking life to, maybe it's a dead hope. Maybe it's a dead dream. Maybe it's a dry mission. Maybe it's a dry calling. Do you know the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick? And sometimes the vision gets deferred and we get sick in our heart, and then we don't want to keep speaking anymore. But we can't get there. We got to keep prophesying. We got to keep speaking, because he spoke to it and a little bit came on, but then he spoke again and more came. We need to stay in there. We need to keep making declarations. Keep speaking. Keep prophesying. We need to speak about those prophetic words that were spoken over your life. Like Paul to Timothy when he said, wage war. We need to get a little bit aggressive about what God has said for our lives. There's a sound of revival that's going to come across the earth. Who's going to write those songs? Oh, but they don't need me. Yes, we do. God needs every one of you to fulfill your call, your mission, your part, your place. We had a burn here that we just happened on the first day of the year. Prophetically, every month we're going to have a burn. Every month we're going to have a dedicated time of prayer and worship where it's harp and bowl style, where we're going to come and lift it up to God. And you need to keep it going. You need to keep making declarations. You need to stand. And there was a vision of a wall in Nehemiah. And as each person built their place on the wall was complete. Each one of you have a place to prophesy. Each one of you has a neighborhood to speak into. A family, a community. We all have our place. But as we all come together and listen to the trumpet sound and rally, and God's prophetically releasing a trumpet sound, and he's saying, prophesy, speak, make declarations. He's calling us to declare to the Lord. your bloodline. It, household speaks of your family and friends and your circle. That means the person at your work. That means the people that are around you. That means the people in your school. That means the people you interact with. That means homes, neighborhoods. God's called us to prophesy to them. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth, and you shall not know it." No, it's, I'm sorry, I messed it up. And it says, "Shall you not know it?" Shall you not know it? Of course you're going to know it, because you're going to be speaking to it. How many know when you plant a seed and that thing comes up, you know it because you planted it? But how many know somebody sowed some seeds, Ernie, in my garden? And all of a sudden there's a bunch of weeds out there. I didn't plant those things. And I never even noticed them growing until that sucker was almost as big as me. And all of a sudden I'm like, "Where'd you come from? Get out of here." But can I tell you, you're going to know it because you're going to be speaking those seeds. You're going to be calling the gold out of every place that you influence. You're going to be calling it into your circle. You're going to be making declarations as a part of your lifestyle. Then when the seeds come forth and the good things come, you're going to know because you've been waiting for it. So we're going to call out. We're going to make a practice. Today's not just about a sermon. It's about something we're going to stay on all year round. That doesn't mean we're going to preach on it all year round, but every single week you're going to get declarations on your outline in the sermon. Every month you're going to get them on bookmarks. We're going to make some bookmarks every month with a new theme of scriptures and declarations you can make. We're going to put them in your home, in your book, in your car, in your everywhere you can go. Because the more you speak and the more life you release from your mouth, the more we're going to see. Somebody get happy. He said, "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." How many know there's some deserts that are going to get some water? There's some wildernesses that are going to get rocked. There's some, God is going to do it. And where there's been blockades, you're speaking in your declaration. That's where he said, "Speak to the mountain and it'll be removed." You're going to have some mountains being removed. I'm telling you right now, the road to the blessing of 2014 is on the other end of your declarations. And every person who we've grabbed, we have a core of leadership and the young leaders we train up. Every year there's a core. And those declarations, every one of them, they say the declarations changed my life. So I just said, we're going to do it in the whole church. Forget just doing it with the leaders. We're going to do it everybody. So I'm not just talking about releasing a today, a prayer that's like the roll of the dice that you're just going to go, "Oh, I'm believing for them," and then you just sit there. I'm talking about embracing something as a value. I'm talking about making declarations a normal part of your life. That every time you find yourself in a difficult situation, you find yourself declaring God's plan and God's word and God's goodness into your circumstance. You just learn to say, when things get difficult, I don't accept difficult. When there's a storm, I speak to storms. I change things. I'm not just a thermometer. I don't. If our prayers look like a thermometer, that means every time it gets cold, we go, "It's cold." But if our prayers look like that thermostat on the wall, every time it's cold, our prayers turn it up. And we say, "It's cold, yes, but I'm turning the heat up, and it's going up into the 70s. Somebody say amen. We're going to shift it because you are world changers. So I'm believing. And Ezekiel, oh, I love Ezekiel. He's so cool. Ezekiel was asked a question by God. And I'm telling you, if all you do is do what Ezekiel did, you're doing good. Look what he did. Ezekiel was asked a question by God, and God asked him a question, and Ezekiel went neutral. He didn't go negative, and he didn't go positive. He went neutral. God said to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And he answered, "Oh God, you know." He didn't say, "No way." And he didn't say, "Yeah." He just said, "You know, God." Everybody who drives a stick shift knows you got to find neutral before you can put it into forward, can't you? Huh? So if you've been doing negative declarations, to get out of negativity, you got to at least find neutral. So at least let's get on level ground with Ezekiel. Let's just start our year there. We can all start in neutral. We can all I like Pastor Andrew said, the fast, how about we go on a negativity fast? Last year he went on a negativity fast. Every time he said something negative, it's like, and then turn that thing around and go to neutral and say, now what can I say that's positive? And we need to learn to take that thing when it's negative and say, it's cold. And we say, but you know what? It's about ready to get hot. My campus is dry, but it's about ready to rain revival. Jesus, but you know what? I am the answer, and revival is here. The light has come into my neighborhood. My family's lost, but they're just about to be born again, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and rocking the earth. We need to turn it. And as we turn it, we're going to see God do great things. I like Ezekiel. He just found neutral first. Where he says in Isaiah 43, he said, "Behold, I'm going to do a new thing. It shall spring forth." He said, "Shall you not know it?" You're going to know it because you're going to find it and you're going to stick it in there. I don't care if you have to cram it in there, into gear. Just speak it. Declare it. Speak it every Sunday. I mean, every Sunday we're going to give you declarations. I want you to take them home and make it part of making those declarations in your home. So number one, the first thing I want to bring to you is number one is I will release life through my declarations. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Release life. I will release life through my declarations. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and surely I will cause breath into them, and you shall live life, life, life into it. You can just survive another year, or you can, I mean, who wants to just survive another year? I want to thrive. So forget surviving. Let's get some thriving. And it happens as we speak life into the situation. Matthew 4:4 says, and Jesus spoke, and he was right back in the devil's face, and he said, and he's trying to tell him to create a rock and make it bread, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Come on, if you know this one, but every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. And we're the ones who get to echo the word of God. I thought this was interesting. Matthew 4:4, it's also Luke 4:4. It's the same thing. It's by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to do it. Let's do a couple declarations. If you can stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. We're going to just do four declarations right now. Four declarations. And I want to hear some heart behind it. Pastor Teresa's coming up because she's taking the next round. Tech Booth, can you help me and give me a little love? Four declarations on number one. I release life through my declarations. Here we go. One, two, three, read. I release life through my declarations. Next one. I release the word of God to my circumstances. Third one, I overcome by the word of my testimony. And the fourth one, my life and testimony bring life to many. And I just declare it, give God some praise. There's life coming. It's coming.
So good, so good. Okay, as I was praying about this, I felt like we're making corporate declarations and church declarations, but I felt like it starts with you. It starts with your own personal declaration. And what I want to speak into is your identity. And so the number two, the point is this. Number two says, I am a unique steward of God's manifold grace. Okay. Now, we learned a couple weeks ago, Pastor Daniel shared, that the word manifold means many-colored, a variety. So you are a unique steward of God's many-colored grace. That is so neat because God sees you as an individual, not just a corporate body. He sees you as an individual. So I'm going to speak to your identity because I believe there's royalty in you. And when you know who you are and that you are valued by God, that you're accepted in the beloved, then you can walk into your and fulfill your assignment. You know, you can manifest that unique, manifold grace of God in your life. So I want to look at Psalm 104, verse 24. It says this, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. You know, you are one of his manifold works. God created you, and you are wonderful. That's what God says. And Psalm 139, verses 14 through 17, says this, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God took a lot of thought when he made you. And not only did he just create you, but he's continually thinking about you. His thoughts towards you are so vast that they outnumber the sand. You know, when you don't value yourself, you're not seeing yourself from God's perspective. But when you see yourself from God's perspective, it gives you a confidence to know that He is with you. And in 1 Peter, it says this in 1 Peter 2, it says, "You as living stones being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then in verse 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you can proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His glorious light." You know what? You're part of that living stone, that multicolored manifold stones that are all being built up together, but you have your unique part of that. And in 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, "As each of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or multicolored grace of God." Do you see that? You have a unique expression no one else has. You are unique, and God wants to shine His grace through you to the world in such a way that no one else can do. So this morning, I want you to make these declarations with me about yourself, because I feel like you're going to be light years ahead when you recognize your value to God. When you're secure in that, then you're going to be able, as the Bible says, love others as you love yourself. When you accept yourself and realize you're accepted in the Beloved, you're not going to walk in insecurity. You're going to walk in confidence in your future. So let's look at these declarations. The first one, perfect. Thank you. Okay, 1, 2, 3. "God created me a unique individual. His works are wonderful." Settle that. You are wonderful because God said you are. Settle it in your mind. Number 2. "God loves me deeply. His thoughts towards me are vast." When you feel alone, when you feel unloved, that's a lie. Replace it with the truth. God thinks about you all the time. You are always on His mind, and His thoughts towards you are vast. You can't even count them. Number 3. "I uniquely express and steward the manifold, the many colors of God's grace. Let His light so shine through you, because you shine like no one else can shine, and the grace of God upon you is great and it's beautiful. So express it, because God wants to see your expression." Amen? Amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I thank you for this royal priesthood who knows their identity in you. They know they are royalty, that they walk in it, God. They carry it wherever they go. I bless them in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yay. So point, or I guess our number 3 is, God is sending great things to me. And the verse that we prayed about and that we felt like God had for Summit this year is Matthew 6:33.
So in that verse it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And that's just really a profound verse if you think, if you just set your priorities on the Lord and with your finances and your time and even more than that, your affection, if He's your first love, that He'll add all those things to you. So you don't have to worry about your financial needs, or you don't have to worry about, you know, feeling loved anymore, because He's going to add all those things to you. So just set your priorities right.
And even as far as families go, this is like the biggest thing in your family, is to seek God first as a family. I'm telling you, just to sit down with your family and ask God, "God, what's your word for this year for our family?" And set goals. I'm telling you, when you set goals and you refocus on what God has for you, it doesn't become boring anymore. It doesn't become going through the motions. It's almost like you become alive. I'm telling you, if you have kids and you're having a hard time with them, you're fighting it, put them in church. Make it a priority to get them to seek God, because I'm telling you, when they're seeking God, their grades are going to turn around, their friends are going to turn around, they're going to be starting to seek God in everything. I'm telling you, if you're in a relationship, seek God first. Don't just seek after what's easier or what might satisfy you for a moment. Seek God's plan for your life. And so we have a couple of quick declarations for you. And so as we put God first, can you put those up? And you have them on the back of your
your bulletin. So the first one is, you guys can just repeat it with me. It's, God is meeting all my needs and more. And the second one is, as I put God first, all the blessings of God are coming my way.
Amen. All the blessings. Okay, so Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And so as we read this verse, I want you guys to put yourself in that verse, that when you begin to think about yourself, that you'll see yourself the way God sees you, that even in your own thought life, that you won't think the worst in things, that you won't think negative about things, but you'll think the best, because God wants the best for you. That's what it says in James. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, because he wants the best for you. And so the last declarations that we have on this verse, you guys can just read it with me. It begins with my transform. Ready? My transformed mind always believes God's best. Amen.
All right, point number four. We thank God for our families, both our natural families and our church family here at Summit. We declare his blessings upon them, and we're ready to experience God's supernatural provision in our lives. So, Heavenly Father, we praise you for another day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for our daily provisions. We thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is teacher and leads us into all truth. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he who started a good work will finish it. We declare your promises over our lives. Your word says that you will watch over your promises to perform them. We trust your words because you honor your words above your name. Therefore, we declare your promises today.
We declare for our families, for our home, and for the family of Summit. We're all one. We declare according to Isaiah 54:13, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. We declare that according to Ephesians 3:20, that in every area of our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially, we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We declare Ephesians 3:17 that we are rooted and grounded in God's love. Amen? We declare according to Ephesians 4:29, we let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. No gossip, no nothing, only positive stuff. We only speak what is good to the use of edifying that it may be ministered grace to the hearers.
The area of provision, prosperity, we declare according to Philippians 4:19, our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. We declare for Summit Church according to Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon is formed against us in judgment, that shall rise against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord.
We declare for healing for our bodies, our soul, and our spirit, all parts of us, all three parts of us. Psalms 103:2-4. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. We declare, according to Exodus 15:26, we are the Lord that heals us. And we prophesy to Summit. We prophesy an explosion of souls being saved, healed, delivered. And the Lord is giving us a baton to use to direct us, anointed baton, and we will help direct, and all of us will work together so that we can fulfill our destiny. We're all in it together, right?
Amen. So let's declare. declare this one on the screen. Okay. Okay. We'll say it and just repeat after me then. I declare I will fulfill all of God's plans in my life, my heart, my attitude, and my mind are determined to obey God in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? All right. I see you back there. Thank you. Our fifth declaration today is that we are fruitful and shining for all the world to see. Let's say that together. We are fruitful and shining for all the world to see. Now in Matthew 12, verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now I've got a tree in the backyard. It's a lemon tree, and it's not quite in season right now. But it's a big tree, so it looks kind of cool, but it's got these little bitty lemons on there. And I believe that as we declare this out, our heart is not to be, as a family, as an individual, we're not trying to be this big, cool-looking thing, but that we're fruitful, and that in our season, and this is our time now, that we're going to grow big, juicy fruit from the Lord and impact the world. So let's say this together. Summit is known by its good fruit. Let's say that together. Summit is known by its good fruit. And in Psalm 1:1-3, let's look at the Amplified here because I like how it expands it. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, and following their advice, their plans, their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall also not fade or wither, and everything that he does shall prosper and come to maturity. So our next declaration here, let's say together, is we, I don't know if you guys have it, it's in the back, we will bear much fruit this year. Because you are rooted in the Word of God, and in his presence, you are continually refreshed by his presence, and you will not submit to the counsel of the world, the flesh, and the evil one. Because, and let's say our next two here, we are strong and not withering, and we will prosper in all you do and come to full maturity.
So I was praying about this too, and I really felt like Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. If I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but today is the 5th of 2014. So as Pastor Daniel says, you can, that's for free. So I'm just going to read this. This is in the New King James. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, are you guys with us on the thing? Are you guys? We're going to go through the next four together. So, are you with me? Okay, ready? Let's go. We are a church that shines brightly in our city. We shine the glory and love of Christ to all around us. We are an accurate representation of God's love on earth. The world sees and is being drawn to our light. Amen? Yeah.
to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Amen. And also, I just wanted to do the Amplified version as well. This one is amazing. And it just says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have come. It just says, rise to a new life. And it says, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen.
Good job. Come on. You know, I just was feeling like when we were thinking about this, that verse from Arise, Isaiah, you know, he's talking about arise and shine. Those two verbs are so powerful for our church, you know. And actually, in the Message translation, it actually says, get up out of bed, Jerusalem, and stand up, you know. And I just think, like, that's funny. You can laugh. That's okay. And yeah. And so, like, you know, this is so powerful, and this is the deal. I feel like some of us in this last year have been in somewhat of a stupor, some kind of a, I'm not calling you stupid, but I mean like some kind of like spiritual stupor where we're just kind of going through the motions, doing what we have to do in order to get by. You know, we're going to church, we're doing the right things, but it's almost like a Laodicean type of thing, you know, or there's another one of the churches in Ephesus, actually, that we're doing the right works. It's better if I'd rather identify with Ephesus, how many of y'all understand, but anyway, they were doing all the right things, but they lost their first love. In other words, they were just going through the motions, doing what they had to do in order to get by, but it wasn't really the fullness of what God had called them to. And I feel like there's some of us in the room that, and in our church, where we're going through this thing, and we're doing what we have to do because we know it's right, and, you know, I'm going to discipline myself and duty and all this kind of stuff. But I feel like part of what the Lord is showing is, and what Pastor Daniel shared out of Ezekiel, that there was an army that stood up on their feet, and it said an exceedingly great army. And then it actually, if you keep on reading Ezekiel 37, it talks about, I will open up your graves and pull you up out of them, says the Lord. And I just feel like that's that stupor. That's just like we're just walking around like zombies, you know, World War Z, you know, like just, no, not less bad like that. But, you know, like, I don't know. But the thing is, it's like there's something like that where we're walking around and we're not totally engaged with the things of God. And we've been satisfied to just have, you know, bless me, God, and I'm just going to receive and become receive sponge, which I believe is really important. But if not, we just turn into these big fat sponges and we don't do anything with the things that we're soaking up with the Lord. How many of y'all know that you can only keep what you give away? And so there's something about arising up and coming out of our spiritual complacency, coming out of apathy, getting up off the ground, because it's when you arise, you're coming from a lower place to a higher place. And the mission of Summit is to lead people to new. And so we got to arise. So we got to arise to a greater level of passion. Arise to a greater level of intimacy. Arise to a greater level of intimacy in our marriages. And parents being engaged with our kids. And kids being engaged with our parents. And there's something the Lord's shifting. But we have to arise. Because the Lord is calling us to get up. Look at your neighbor and say, get up. And the second part of the verse says, so he said, arise. And what was the second part? Shine. With what? The glory of the Lord. And I believe there's something about that as well for our church, that there's just, you know, when the glory of the Lord's on a people, that we actually stand out. You know, when in Israel, actually in Egypt, when the Israelites were there, the darkness came, and one of the plagues was darkness. But guess where the light was still at? Over in the land of Goshen, over the Israelites. And there's something about that prophetically for the church, that we are in the darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness is over the peoples, but the glory's on you, that you are portable presence carriers. Come on. And when people touch you, they don't die like the Ark of the Covenant. When they touch you, they get healed. They get come to life. Depressions lift off to their lives. Come on. Breakthrough comes in their life because you carry the presence of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, Summit. Arise and shine. Let's just prophetically just do an act and stand up and just rise up. Come on. And we're going to declare this over our church. The first thing on your outline, or it's in there somewhere, Summit is arising and shining. That's what we're going to say. Ready? Summit is arising and shining with the glory of the Lord. As a radiant church, we continually pursue and experience the manifest presence of God. Come on. This declares we have something to carry. I have something. Actually, I'm sorry. Is that? Yeah. I have something to offer. So in between. carry the presence. Can we do that? I have something to offer because I carry the presence of God. I am a difference maker and an atmosphere shifter. Sorry, I got excited about that first one. Come on, say that again. I'm a difference maker and an atmosphere shifter. Here we go. Next one. The people of Summit are uncompromising. Here we go. The people of Summit are uncompromising in their stand for Christ. Passion, hunger, and boldness are consistent characteristics. Come on, church. Let me just say this. This is huge, man. This is huge. Uncompromising. The reason why it's huge is because, man, sometimes people misinterpret the grace of God into a license to do whatever I want to do whenever I can do it. But how many of y'all know grace is God's empowerment to do His will? And when you get more grace in your life, you get more holy in your life. When you get more grace, you get more passion, you get more fire. Because, let's say it again, the people of Summit are uncompromising. Say it again. The people of Summit are uncompromising. And they stand for Christ. Passion, hunger, and boldness are consistent characteristics. All right, now high five someone and take a seat. Seventh to complete, and I really believe if we don't get this one, we won't complete it. We won't even complete the six. And number seven is, I will treat every adverse circumstance as dry bones. We talk about Ezekiel, but how are you going to take this one home? How are you going to work it out tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Every time there's an adverse circumstance or situation, every time you start to face something, we need to turn it around. We need to be those who say, there's a storm. Wait, I'm a storm stiller. There's a funeral. Dude, I carry the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Someone's sick. Oh, I walk in the healing and the anointing and the manna. It's pretty dark around here. I carry heaven everywhere I go. I mean, we need to turn the situation. We need to, and every time you see it, when you get used to it, pretty soon you'll start saying. And so I want you to challenge somebody when they're telling you and they're like, Matt, let me tell you about, and I start to tell you about my circumstance. I want you to say, those are dry bones, brother. Let me pray with you. Let's prophesy to them. And you, oh, come on. Let's go, buddy. Let's prophesy to them. We need to challenge each other and keep each other challenged, that we look at everything that we face that's adverse and we turn it around. That we look at people that are challenging us and we call out the gold. That we turn it around instead of, and you can do it in every situation. Can we? We can look at it and say, do you know every great thing comes with great opposition? But if you're going to have a world, if you're going to have a world changer, you're going to have the world opposition. The question is, will you shift it and turn it? Will you declare it? And I'm just believing we're going to declare in every adverse circumstance that's just dry bones. And I'm not settling for this. I mean, there's a 10-2 principle, and it really works out about that way. About maybe 20% of people will really do this, and I'm believing we're one of those 20% people. I'm believing we're like the two and not like the 10 spies who went into the land. Because 10 of them were saying, surely we can. And 2 of them were saying, surely we can. And all we have to do to shift the difference to become a Joshua and a Caleb is to find a book. Someone who doesn't have an electronic version. Find the word. Is find neutral. And then say, God, you know, here we are. There's giants in the land. But what did you say? Huh? Because I'm thinking they're pretty big. What are you thinking? God says, I think you could take them. We could take them. Because my God can smoke them. So I think we can do it. Because God says. Are you here? But it depends how we look at it. If we look at it and we go, those guys are big as some big guys right there. Look at this guy. This guy's big. Stand up, Bobby. Come on. He's got some guns right here, man. These are some guns. But when you're looking and you're like, man, those are some big guns, you got to go, God, but you are an all-powerful, mighty God. Because His word is powerful. I'm trying to give away the Aaron's Bible. See, so all it comes back to is the way you think. Because Joshua and Caleb had a different way of thinking. But you guys caught that in that declaration. And I believe that you're being transformed because you're lovers of the word. because you allowed your mind to be transformed. And every time we wake up and embrace the word and put it first, like Nate and Carla were emphasized, we put him first, then we get armed so we can shift it that day, so that we go out and forward and not in negativity. And even if we find ourselves going negative, we stick it in neutral and say, God, what do you say again? To what am I supposed to prophesy? What am I supposed to say? Oh, I'm supposed to bless those who persecute me. Got a whole bunch of blessing ready to come out right now. We need to treat all adverse circumstance as dry bones, about ready to see life come on them. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. We need to do what he commanded us. Even as he told Timothy, we need to prophesy, speak the word, even as it was prophesied over us. We need to, and that noise is coming. I can hear it coming. I can hear it right now rattling in it's coming in your lives. I can see the rattling in your neighborhoods. I can see rattling in the colleges and campuses. I can see the rattling. It's starting to, God's starting to do something already that's coming forth. And then he said, prophesy the breath, prophesy the life. Take it all the way. Don't stop speaking when it's halfway done. Don't stop speaking and just say, well, I got it there, God, where now I'm not drowning anymore. It's like, no, come on. How about we get it all? How about we get the life in that thing? I see a great army. I see an army that's great. It's like, okay, awesome. We. What about, you can look and say, man, we got awesome worship leaders. Look, I see a bunch of worship leaders out here. I see a bunch of songs of revival still inside people. We need you. We've got a whole bunch of revivalists that are upstairs. We need you up there. There's a whole army of youth that are changing the campuses. We need you. We need you to engage. We need you like Nehemiah. Just take your place on the wall. Just take it. And that trumpet that gets sounded is our prophetic declarations. And I fully believe in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is living and powerful. And if we don't settle that and we don't believe that what we're speaking is living and powerful, then we're not going to release it. We need to get that Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful. And we need to understand that we are ambassadors of a living and powerful word. I'll tell you right now, it's the biggest dupe of the devil is to try to tell you your words don't matter. So why even speak? Why do you even try? But you got to be like Ezekiel, and you just got to go, God, but you know. And God said his word is living and powerful, and God knows. So all you do is say, I will obey, and I will prophesy, and I will speak the word of God. And you watch the power released. Because when we dig inside of us, all we get is natural. But when we dig into the word, we get super. And God puts super on natural, and look out. People are coming out of the grave in this day more than you can see and ever recorded in the scriptures. Resurrected from the dead is coming. More people are being, right now, people are being raised from the dead like they never have. Healing being moving across the earth. There is an army. There is a breath. There is a miracle working God who's shifting something, and we need to be a part of that. Everybody will tell you about the doom that's coming. How about the glory that's coming? Because last I checked, all I know is God said the glory of the Lord appeared on the summit like a consuming fire. When I read that in the scriptures, what I see is your faces. I see a people that are coming who are saying, we're going to raise the watermark. We're not going to lower it. I'm going to keep prophesying until I see it come to life. I'm not going to attend funerals that I'm not going to start declaring life at them. I'm not going to sit and look at a broken dream. I'm going to start prophesying until someone picks it up. And if you had a dream, and you can pass it to your kids, you know, I just pray, God, let every word happen in my lifetime, but there's words that get passed to the next generation and next, because God said my word will not come back empty. It will not come back void. It will not stop. Do you know revival was released in San Marcos decades ago? I am here because my mother went to a meeting on this street, down the block, at a meeting, and at that meeting, something happened, and she got born again. And then there was a prophecy and a prophetic word that shifted whole things in our family, changed the entire atmosphere of what we lived in. Because revival hit down the street a couple decades ago. I believe God's releasing revival in San Marcos. I believe he's releasing a mighty army to come up. I need the whole worship team to come up here because we need to just, I just felt like we need to sing a little bit of that you're better than we thought you were, God. I just feel like we need to just declare it. I feel like we got the declarations. I feel like you've got all of it. You've got the word. But I want you to stand with me if you'll stand. Can you lose this, Bobby? We need to tell him he's better. And we need to make a little declaration before we leave. But I just want to tell you, if you just bring it real soft for a second, just real soft for a second. If you're here, your first declaration out of your mouth, and you say, well, this is awesome, and this is crazy. I like to worship, and I like it here. But man, Pastor, I don't even know that I'm going to heaven. And I need to start there. I just would like to ask everyone in the room, if you just bow your heads for a second, and just give a little honor. If you're here and you say, I don't know that, but I want to know that. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Don't stay 18 inches from salvation. Man, just let it come out of your mouth. But I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to ask you right now. The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. I'm a man and I'm standing here right now and I'm asking, if you want to go to heaven and you don't know that you are, would you just look at me and just say, I want that. That's me. I want that. I'm going to pray all over the room. Amen. Amen. Just look at me and say, I want that. Just say, here I am. I want salvation. I want to know. You know that 1 John 5:11-12 says these things were written so that you may know you have eternal life. I went around gambling. I can't tell you how many times I almost was killed. Went off a cliff, coming back from the Hoya Indian Reservation. A bunch of drunk teenagers went off a cliff, hit a tree. Guy went in a coma. All this crazy stuff. I walk out. I mean, I walked out of situations so many times I could have died. I was gambling. And all I needed to do was to make a declaration and ask Jesus to forgive my sins. I needed to come to that cross and get born again. And I'm asking you, if you're here and you want to know. I had a form of religion, but I didn't know. But I really got born again. And I'm still standing here now, which is a miracle. And I'm asking you, if you're in this room and you say, I want to know for sure as I walk out, even if you made a declaration, but you don't know and you're uncertain, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to know today. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know it. That's me. Amen. Amen. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I don't care if you lift your hand. It's what comes out of your mouth and what's in your heart. If you believe in the gospel that God sent his son and that his son died on the cross, he was crucified, died, they put him in the ground, and he rose from the dead and he's seated in heaven. If you believe that gospel and you want forgiveness, you can speak it out of your mouth and be born again. You can totally be forgiven of every single sin in your life. You can walk out of these doors, and if something happens to you, you would be standing in heaven and you'd say, come on in, you're one of mine. And I want to make sure that you settle that before you leave today. I just pray right now. So if everyone will pray all over the room with me, that's what I want to do. Is I want to ask you, if all of you, born again, not born again, want to, unsure, would you pray this prayer right now and settle it? Would you say, Father, I believe you sent your son, that she's totally okay. She is. I believe that Jesus was crucified, that he died. But I believe he rose. Oh. Forgive my sins. Because this day, I receive forgiveness. Fill me, God, with your spirit. And now just hold on a second. And maybe you want to lift your hands and just get a new refreshing. But I just want to pray over you. God, do as they said and fill them with your spirit. And if you haven't been, just receive right now. Fill them with your spirit like the wind, like that ruach. Let it flow through this place. Let wind of your spirit, let new baptisms come over them. God, let them be filled with strength and power. God, I pray, God, that you'd fill us. And Lord, as we worship out, we're going to spend about 2 minutes or 3 minutes worshiping out, and then you're released to go. And but before we start to worship, I just want to ask a couple of you, so just get ready. We're going there. But there's a few people. There were some words of knowledge for some people. I just believe some people getting healed. We had, even this first service, there was two different words about people in the left shoulder being healed and in the neck. So if you have an issue in the left shoulder, someone had a word during this service also that the left shoulder, God was healing the left shoulder, also the right foot and ankle. Also, there was an issue in the chin and also with spinal issues. And if you need any prayer for any kind of sickness, we're going to be up here to pray for you. My prayer team is already working their way to the front, and the worship team is going to just like worship us out. And so you can come up, and then after they get done with this song, then you can just fellowship in the lobby and just let ministry happen in the front.